All right, I have a story for you, but a quick disclaimer. This story did not take place in this congregation, although it did take place during a stewardship campaign in a medium-sized church in a Midwestern town. Well, one of the stewardship committee people noticed that one of the prominent members of the church hadn't made a contribution or pledge. And this person was making about $600,000 a year. So the stewardship committee person thought, well, why not give him a call? So she calls the businessman. Mr. Smith, according to our records, you haven't made a contribution to the church or a pledge, and I'm wondering if you would like to do so now. Well, Mr. Smith responds, a contribution? Are you kidding? Do your records show that I have an invalid mother who needs two expensive surgeries a year just to stay alive? Well, the volunteer's a little embarrassed, and she confesses, well, no, sir, I wasn't aware. Do your records show that my sister's husband was killed in a car accident? She has three kids and no means of support. Well, Miss Volunteer is now completely at a loss. I'm so sorry, sir. Do your records show that my brother broke his neck on the job and now requires a full-time nurse just to live? Well, completely humiliated, Miss Volunteer is ready to hang up, and she says, I'm so sorry, sir. I had no idea. Please forgive me. But Mr. Smith is not done with this woman yet. The gall of you people. I don't give them a dime, so why should I give you anything? Like I said, this story did not happen here. It would never happen here. This story of the widow's two cents here in Mark 12 sounds a lot like any of the poor family members of this businessman, don't they? No doubt each of the widow's neighbors and her family members who knew her worried about her. Being a widow in that society, you have no way of being supported. Knowing that oftentimes she didn't have enough to live on, she didn't even have 2 cents, 2 coins to throw around foolishly. On the other hand, the beginning verses of this week's scripture lesson hold a pretty harsh critique of the priests and scribes by Jesus. In verses 38 to 40, he takes them on, all of those who live a decadent lifestyle, strutting around in expensive robes, gorging themselves at banquets, even as Jesus puts it, they devour widows' houses to make themselves look good. I love that line. They give their little so they can get more. Well, enter the poor widow who gives everything she has with no expectation and nothing to show for her money. It's her decision, her desire to give herself poor. Not even the scribes in all likelihood would have said that this woman ought to give up the very last coin she had, putting herself in poverty. But she does it anyway. She does it out of her own volition. Strange as it may seem to us, to our careful, cautious selves, she decides that having nothing, absolutely nothing, is enough for her, more than enough, in fact. It literally isn't, though. And that's the irony, because Jesus is brutally honest about that as he tells the tale. That mite, that tiny coin, is all this woman has to live on. And by placing it in the collection box for the temple, she makes a sacrificial gift. Because of her remarkable generosity, she guarantees that she will not have enough. She may literally die as a result of this contribution. Now, you know, I could stop here and shamelessly exploit this passage as an impassioned plea for our stewardship campaign, could I not? This poor woman gives everything. We're only asking you to give some, not all. I could use this opportunity of her generosity to try and shame you and manipulate you into giving more. And pastors and stewardship committees love to do that. And I would love to do that. But unfortunately, that's not what this passage is about. So sorry about that, stewardship and finance committee, Carolyn, Steve. Sorry about that. That's not what this passage is about. So here's the 411 on this story. The real skinny about what's going on here, and it's not an example of why we need to give more either. The religious institution of Jesus' time had become full of corruption and greed, and many of the temple authorities used their position and status as stepping stones to gain power and wealth. Less and less of the revenue, the offerings, the sacrifices that people made and brought to the temple in good faith were not used for religious reasons or for taking care of widows and orphans, while more and more of those donations went to lining people's pockets. And it's pretty obvious if you listen to Jesus' words in any of the Gospels, exactly what he thinks about the religious leaders of his time. That is painfully obvious. He didn't think much, that's for sure. Right after the encounter with the widow here in Mark's Gospel, Jesus will go on to say about the temple that not one stone will be left standing, that they will all be thrown down. Not to mention what he says in today's reading about devouring widows' houses. Jesus has already condemned this institution, and it has already been earmarked for destruction. So in a nutshell, this bizarrely twisted story that up front just sounds like give more, give more, give more, it's about a poor widow giving the very last that she has, giving her all, and likely facing death because of it to a religious institution that's perverted and evil. She gives her all to aid and abet something that does not protect her like it should. Widows, the poor, the vulnerable. She supports with her very life the bloodsuckers who feed off of her. That's what this passage is about. And she does it freely and voluntarily. No one forces her to. Joyfully. This is definitely not a stewardship story by any stretch of the imagination. And it is not one of those heartwarming, folksy, Hallmark Christmas movie moments either. It's real and gritty and heartbreaking. But it's something better than that. Something much, much better. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Throughout the Bible, there are characters whose actions and behavior are there to show us some of the facets of God's character. We call them types. When Abraham is willing to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, he becomes a type for us to show us how far God is willing to go on our behalf. When Ruth, from last week, clings stubbornly to Naomi, she becomes a type to show us the faithfulness and the perseverance of God. The father of the prodigal son is a type to show us what ends God will go to find us, to forgive us, and to welcome us home. Like I said, the Bible is full of types to show us more clearly the character of God. Rahab the prostitute puts her life on the line for total strangers and foreigners. She becomes a type for God's willingness to meet us exactly where we are in our lives. But back to the poor widow. I think that she too represents one more type to show us the character of God in Jesus Christ. So let's brainstorm for a minute what she teaches us about God. What do you think? What does she teach us about God? Okay, that God gave all. Anyone else? What do you think this widow teaches us about God? His love is unconditional. He gave his all. Here at the temple is Jesus' last public scene in Mark's gospel. He points out for his disciples that this woman literally gives the whole of her life, and she's given it to something that is corrupt and condemned. And that's where this whole idea about type comes from. The widow gives us a glimpse into what Jesus is all about. Here at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus is on his way to giving the whole of his life for something that's corrupt, that's been condemned, that's already been written off as beyond redemption. That, by the way, would be you and me. And yet this widow, if you will, gives all of him for all of us. The priceless for the worthless. The best and the most for the least and the lowest. His life for ours and our world, sad and corrupt as it is. Sound familiar yet? I guess it is kind of a stewardship sermon after all, isn't it? The best for the worst. Jesus did that. The best for the worst. Are you willing to give your best, all of who and what you are, for the sake of those who don't deserve it? What a waste, right? The best for the worst, the least for the most. What a waste. But thank God that someone didn't think that about you or me. Thank God that God in Jesus Christ was willing to put his last 2 cents worth in for your life and for my life. You know, so many times and so many ways, people want me or someone else to help them discover where God is calling them to go. That is one of the most common conversations I have with you in church. You want to know where God's calling you to go? What to do with your life? Here's a place to start your thinking. Who do you think is most worthless? Who do you think is most undeserving of your time, your talents, your treasure, your love? That's where this crazy God of ours in Jesus Christ is calling you to give, to do, to love, to serve, to give your best for their worst. That's where. And it isn't a pretty place that God calls you to go either. But Jesus' walk was no cakewalk either. What a waste, right? Your best for their worst. Now that's a Christmas sermon. You might hear more on that on Christmas Eve. I haven't decided yet. You want to know where God is calling you to go? To bring your best for their worst. Amen.